Hey, Monty.
Brody.
Which man can drink loads and loads of petrol without feeling sick?
I don't know, Jimmy Carr?
Jerry can.
And welcome back to the Could Always podcast.
So you don't sound too excited.
Oh, you know. Joke really drained all my energy.
Oh, come on.
Jerry can, hey?
Wow. Welcome back to season two.
Oh, it's season two. That's the only reason to explain a long break
we've had. We've got plenty of explanations for it.
Well, we but we'll get to those in the bus already. Maybe. Me?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. That's a great way to start the show, isn't it?
Always a positive. How are you, Monty?
Yeah, good, mate. It was great until you rocked up. I was having a really good day. How are you, mate?
No. Just a reminder that the title of our podcast is Good Always.
Oh, not sorry.
Shit on your it's mates not, always.
It's not our other podcast, isn't it?
Wow.
You started it.
Yeah, fair.
No, I'm going all right, Brody. I'm enjoying the change to cold weather. I'm feeling more energised for some reason now that it's colder. I quite like, you know, waking up in the cold and living in this climate. So I'm feeling really energised weirdly at the moment.
Yeah.
Yourself, nice. Brody?
Yeah, I like the change as well. I find that the nights are really nice because I feel like I can sleep a bit cozier.
Oh yeah,
with the colder weather in the season of Gerard. I feel like we did an episode this time last year and we talked about the season of Gerard.
Sounds about right. You gave a great description about it from recollection. Yeah.
So head on back to episode
that one. 3, 4 maybe.
Could have been episode 6. Who knows?
All sort of plans together.
But yeah, great time of the year. And today's weather has been, it's always a weather report at the start.
Yeah.
It's been weird. Like it was forecast to just bucket down and then the morning it was cold, but it didn't look like it was any chance of raining and get out of uni and still no chance of raining. And I start driving and it absolutely, you know what they say, when it rains, it pours.
They do say that. I think that's more of a, saying about luck and stuff, but you know what, that's.
You got to take it for its literal meaning sometimes and. Boy, oh boy, did it pour. Which made for an interesting drive-in.
Yeah, okay.
Driving in some deep water. Yeah. I saw, and it's probably not the greatest image of me, but as I was driving, I saw a lady walking along the footpath. There was a lot of people running. I don't know why there were people that were so...
Middle of the day in the rain, hey?
Yeah.
Weird. Running from the rain or actively running?
Just actively running.
Ah, interesting.
No, like full-on running attire.
Full on running guitar.
But this lady looked like she was, I don't know, walking to uni or something like
right,
that.
Right.
With no sense of urgency, but it is genuinely bucketing down. But it was, you know, it was on Riverside Drive, so Riverside Drive, Mounts Bay Road, whatever.
One of the ones.
You weren't there.
Nearby.
You weren't, no, who cares? No. And part of me felt like, I should probably stop and see if she needs a lift. But I was like, at least 100 metres away when I had that thought. So hopefully she made it. And
she survived the rain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. She'll be smelling a bit funny
from you.
Class, I reckon.
Jesus.
What have you got?
Brody, there's a lot to talk about today.
isn't there?
Because it's been so long.
You'd think we'd have a lot to talk about.
You'd think so. Yeah. Look, there's one thing I actually want to have a chat about, just because it's that time of year again. We all know, am I right?
Yeah, that old yearly thing that comes around.
Exactly. Well, not yearly, but...
Oh, sorry.
I'm talking about the election season, Roddy.
You're definitely not yearly.
Not yearly. Well, you know, feels like it's yearly.
Does it?
No. I don't know. But look, the reason I wanted to raise this first is because on Saturday, hopefully this is released by then, most people will be stepping up to vote in the federal election, which is a very exciting time of year. I find it very interesting to see what's going on in the world and Australia at this time of year.
You live for this stuff. You love it.
Ah, yes. I actively like to be very active in my democracy.
Yeah. I really do admire it because I just get so drained by it.
It gets exhausting. By the time Sunday rolls around, I'll be grateful that the election season's over. But one of the reasons that I get so involved and one of the reasons I do get quite happy when it's over is I like to do a lot of research about different candidates. And so the first thing I just wanted to raise is just my, regular pledge to the people around me to do your research. I think it's
good
one
reminder.
Of the most good reminders just to, look at us now, right? This is what we do best, right?
We research for you.
We research so well. Well, not really researching for you, but I just want to, there's a lot of it, especially independents running at the moment, which have really interesting platforms around topical issues like mental health.
Mm.
And so I really encourage you not to just vote for the same party you've always voted for, your family's voted for, and instead to look at everyone on the ballot paper in your area and look at their policies.
Mm.
I think that we are so much stronger as a nation and as individuals when we are active in that process. You might think it's just an annoying thing that happens every few years, but it does genuinely make a difference on our lives and the lives of the people around us who represents us.
Yeah.
One article in particular I want to talk about, Brody.
Mm.
I'm only going to touch on it really briefly.
Okay.
And I can highly recommend you check out the Australian Psychology Society if you want to learn more about this. But it popped up on my newsfeed today when I was doing my usual what's going on in the election world. And that's sort of the stances that the parties have taken in regards to mental health this election season, which is an important one.
Okay.
No comment from Brody. Brody's fully checked out.
No idea. I'm waiting.
You know there's an election coming up?
I do. Actually, I was meant to vote today because we're working on it. So. Anyway, it's not important.
So what they've done here, and I'm not going to go into full detail of each of these categories, but I just wanted I find it really interesting. Four different areas that the Australian Psychology Society have pinpointed as important for them.
Okay.
As their commitment that they think that we should be expecting from our representatives. And that's the, placement of more psychologists for patients, generally, as a ratio.
Yep.
Lowering the cost of reducing wait times for psychology in Australia. Getting psychologists into schools and lowering the costs for young adults. And then emergency healthcare during natural disasters. These are the four main things they identified this year, this election cycle, as big focuses that they would expect that our representatives would look at. And they're only focusing on the three major parties at the moment. But here's sort of where they stack up, and I just wanted to share because I think it's an interesting point. The first one, Brody, more psychologists for patients. There's a difference between the three parties here quite drastically. We've got the coalition, so the Liberal National Coalition, who are partly committed to this. They've got some commitment statements in their policy statement about getting more psychologists, but it's wishy-washy.
Yep.
Labor has not committed to more psychologists for patients across Australia, and the Greens are fully committed to this policy, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Lowering the costs and reducing wait times of psychologists. Again, we see a part commitment from the coalition, not exactly where the Australian Psychology Society would want them to be. And again, no commitment or a very unclear commitment from Labor. And finally, again, a clear commitment from the Greens.
Mm-hmm.
The third category, getting psychologists to schools and lowering costs for young adults. It's really good to see that all three of the parties have committed at least to some level that this is an important policy for them. But the last one, emergency mental health care during natural disasters. At the moment, none of the three major parties have actually committed a policy to this, which is disappointing, to say the least. And again, for me, it underscores how important it is to look at your candidates in your electorate. And if you're care, if you're passionate about mental health and you care about that issue, see what the policies are around you. Be active in that process. Yeah. Brody.
I will.
Anyway, just a little, every 4 year reminder to
to look at policy.
Look at policy, be active, and your voice does matter.
Yeah, and a good, obviously, oops, sorry, playing footsies under the table. Obviously, our show, podcast, I've never called it a show.
Show, that's cute.
Yeah. Our show has a very mental health underlying tone to it.
You wouldn't say it's a theme, but it's definitely theme, a tone, vibe.
There's some tonality. So, hopefully we're, this isn't a paid ad by the Greens or the Coalition.
And just to clarify, the Australian Psychology Society has no partisanship at all. It's just an independent society. So.
Yeah. So obviously your research is very mental health focused because of the nature of our show, but definitely do research on all policies and, as best you can. There's a lot of policies to get your head around. But great. Thanks, Monty.
So, Macca, talking about the election.
We are.
And I can tell you, rolling your eyes already. Two segments about the election? This one's a bit different.
Jesus, two in a row.
I've got a game for you, Brody.
Oh, yes.
Here we go. It's one of our favourite formulas for games, which is this real or not?
Which is great.
Which is great. You know why? It's because it works really well over the audio mode. Not since Guess That Drum Beat have we had a game that works as well by audio.
We're playing more than footsies now, aren't we? Jeez.
Quite awkward, isn't it?
You're going further up the leg.
So, in my research of different political candidates that I always do, I was interested to see what sort of parties we have in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked down the rabbit hole. There's a lot of different parties that represent different needs of different people, which is awesome. But in the history, in the history of Australia, and in particular at a state level, there have been some very interesting parties that have come up. Obviously, you know what a political party is, Brody.
Yeah, yeah, like the Greens, the Coalition, yes. Labor.
So that's it. Yep.
Oh, you gave me a look as if I needed to stop without ruining the rest of your game. But
so what I've got here this one is
getting no prizes again.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different political parties. Maybe mm-hmm. 7. We'll see. Some of them
classic English
are real
Monty strikes again.
Are real political parties that have existed at some point in Australia's past,
yep.
either at a state level or at a national level.
Okay.
And some of them are ones that I have made up.
Okay.
It is your job to figure out which ones are serious, and I'm even going to give you a small description of each of them to make it easier for you. Which ones that were actually parties at some point, and which ones are ones I've just made up.
Oh,
are you ready, Brody?
I was born ready.
Number one, the Deadly Serious Party, which was solely created just to mock the other candidates in the electorates. Deadly Serious Party.
That's a real party.
That was a real party, yes. Yeah. Well done, Brody. Yeah. Only for one election cycle?
Yeah, in 87.
Not far off, actually. It might have been 86. Well, wow. Don't do that again, though, because you're going to be very far off.
Mate, before switching to Grows, I was attempting to study to be a history teacher, so I know this stuff.
I don't know this stuff. I've got another one for you.
Oh, thank God.
The party, which was a party to protest just the relaxed registration laws for parties in the Australian Capital Territory. Party, party, party. And the parties all had exclamation marks after them. So the party, party, party.
Yeah.
Is this one a real or fake party?
That is a real party.
It is a real party. Very well done, Brady. What year?
Oh,
I don't know the answer, so.
Okay, it's well, lucky. I'll tell you. It's 96.
Yeah, well done. Yeah. Well done. 2 for 2 so far. Number 3, the Future of Australian Volleyball Party.
False.
Don't want me to explain what the party is, okay?
Go on.
The Future of Australian Volleyball Party was literally just a party that existed to boost the volleyball profile of Australia in the national and international sphere.
False.
It's a false party. Well done. What makes you think it's false straight from the get-go?
Just volleyball is an amazing sport and doesn't need any more promotion.
Well done, well done.
Campaign.
Okay. Next one. The Sun-Ripened Warm Tomato Party, the Australian Capital Territory, which had a policy to ban gas-coloured fake tomatoes in the Australian Capital Territory.
Gas-coloured fake tomatoes?
Yep.
False.
That's a real party.
No way.
The Sun-Ripened Warm Tomato Party won about 1,200 votes in the Australian Capital Territory legislative election.
Yeah, right.
And actually, funnily enough, the party, 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 one of their big protests was against the Sun-Ripened Warm Tomato Party because they thought it was ridiculous that it existed.
Yeah, right.
Next one. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Bullet Trains for Australia Party. I've said self-explanatory.
Did you really exceed your creative juices on the volleyball function?
You know, Bullet Trains for Australia Party.
False.
It is a real party.
Really?
It is a real party. With the goals of trying to, literally just the sole goal of trying to get bullet trains in Australia.
Fair enough.
They did very well.
Clearly.
They're defunct. One more. Are you ready? I think you have to get this
right. If I get this right, I win. I win you to do my votes for me on Saturday.
This party is called...
Not going to happen.
Yeah, just for the Electric Commission. That is not going to happen. Jesus. Coca-Cola in the Public Fountains Party.
Look, this is if it's a political party, correct?
Yeah, it's a political party.
Okay, so unfortunately, I'm going to have to say that's false because I created that party when I was running for faction captain in Year 6.
That is correct. It is false. That's what I thought. I can imagine that being a policy stance.
Oh, everyone had
primary school leadership.
Yeah.
And had that go for you.
I promise.
Did you win the factional election?
I did, yep.
Did you? Did you put Coca-Cola in the fountains?
I tried, but I think the filters turned it back into water.
That didn't happen.
Well, Monty.
Brody.
Monty. It's time for a crowd favourite, something that hasn't been...
Don't tell me, it's...
Something that hasn't been addressed, revisited for quite some time. We're in a silly goose mood, aren't we? Which bodes well, being in such a good mood for good news always.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Jeez, I'm in the mood for some good news.
There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world and some good stories get shared. But a lot of
hard to find them though.
Yes, and that's why we're here. at the Good Always podcast to share good news always.
Exactly.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. News always, occasionally.
Yeah. Love it. Okay, so as you may know, I'm now studying journalism.
So you this is probably articles you've written yourself.
Yep, that's right. Let's try and get some street cred. Not the point.
Sorry.
But this one did appeal to the potential future journalist in me.
Potential future, yep.
Because refugees in Uganda learn journalism skills to share their stories in a partnership with World Vision and hashtag Our Stories. So the refugees at Bitty Bitty Camp were given smartphones and taught to identify story angles and how to edit as well.
Given smartphones?
Yep.
Cool.
And sharing their quite incredible stories. Good News Movement. No, Good News Always. That's the website it's on. Good News Movement.
Glad you're just giving some publicity to
Damn it.
Our sources. Thanks to our friends at Good News
Movement. You've got to credit them, you know. That's
that is good news.
So that's Good News Always, section one.
Oh.
Yep.
How many sections are there? Section one, part two.
One, two, there's four more.
Ah, awesome.
Yep. Don't sound too excited.
Oh, yes.
Yay.
This one's better than the first one.
There's a supermarket in...
Your voice
I'll do it for the next one because I don't have a proper path for this one. So there's this one. You'll like this one because there's a supermarket in Switzerland.
Oh.
Which
you know I love Switzerland.
You. That, yes, that's you.
Yep.
And in this supermarket, they have a refill station for their cleaning products. So rather than buying new bottles of Mountain Fresh or whatever the dishwashing liquid they use in Switzerland is, whatever brand.
Mountain Fresh. Oh, did you say that?
That's the one that we have here.
Oh.
You take your bottle in, you refill it, and you pay for it.
Awesome.
Very trusting members.
Very trusting.
In Switzerland. But yeah, that's an effort to reduce waste over there.
I like it. And yeah, I think that's something that we could do a lot better at. I went to a new IGA that opened up recently.
That's nice.
And you don't have plastic bags there, like for the fruit and veggie and stuff. You have to bring your own bag, and they have bags you can buy there, like special fruit and veggie bags, which is great.
Nice.
It doesn't cost that much more money and not that much more effort.
There you go. Good News Always, part two.
Section two or part two? The messaging seems inconsistent.
Item two.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Good News Always, episode three. a dog in Tennessee is celebrating its 20th birthday, becoming the oldest living golden retriever in history.
Beautiful.
The dog caused a stir. After celebrating the 20th birthday in April, the dog's affectionately named as Augie.
Aww.
So there you go. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Augie?
Probably Augie. Augie. Definitely Augie.
A-U-G-I-E is what
that's
saying.
Augie.
Yeah.
We're not going to say the other word again. Are we on to Chronicle 4?
Yeah, we are. Chapter 4, the class of 2022 at Wiley College, a historically black college in Texas, learned at their commencement ceremony that an anonymous donor had paid off their entire combined debt balance.
Oh, wow.
Says, you are debt-free, go forth, inspired, glorious deeds to do.
Wow. I'd love to be an anonymous donor somewhere. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Good one. You are debt-free. You do not owe the college a penny. If you have a balance, you had a balance. There you go. That makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
If you have a balance, you had a balance.
Yeah, the delivery was the issue there.
Yeah, that's on me.
We have one more?
Sorry, Wiley College. We do have one more. An Australian news, good news.
Ah, great.
Always
that's where we are.
Article. Album 5. I hope I say this right. Anyway. Gabby Kanazay becomes the youngest Australian to climb Mount Everest in a successful summit with her mum. Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't realise that people were climbing again.
So Gabby is 19 years old.
What?
And has climbed to the top of Mount Everest.
That's awesome. With
19
mum?
Years and 68 days years of age.
That's weirdly worded. Well, good on you, Gabby. That's exciting stuff.
Gabby did Everest Base Camp when she was 14.
Oh, my God.
Yep. So well done to Gabby and her mum, Jane.
Well done. If you're listening, Gabby and Jane.
I can only imagine. Well, what else are you going to do on your journey back down?
Chuck the art pot in, put on good old weight. Good thing I saved those episodes, hey?
Yeah, wow.
I think you're not supposed to carry any unnecessary weight, so you wouldn't download any other episodes, but you would definitely good old weight. Macca.
Yes.
I see. The old face off, bit of dead air for you. Yeah. Thursday morning.
For the, it's Wednesday, my dude. And it's not even morning.
I'm just assuming people will be listening to this on a Thursday morning.
No, it's going up straight away.
Oh, is it?
No.
We're live streaming. Damn it. We should live stream an episode one time.
That would be horrible. Well, we've talked about this several times.
We have, haven't we?
Fringe next year, we're on.
Fringe 2023.
Yeah.
We should probably start planning that.
Perth Comedy Festival.
What I want to talk about, Brody, obviously to you, I was out of action last week. I had COVID.
Ah.
Yes.
Weak.
Brody is yet to have COVID.
Yeah.
Not that it makes you stronger to be
COVID-free,
but
from what I heard from you, you were like, you didn't even have any symptoms. You could have been functioning and you're running around the house on the treadmill, pumping around. Iron.
So, this is not your segment. Thanks, mate.
I've had one segment.
I wanted to talk about, though, is obviously, so stuck at home, prepped all my classes for the week, and sent off my documents and had nothing to do for the week. And for the first few days, that was really well needed because I sort of slept and recovered and I felt quite sick for the first few days. Not symptomatic necessarily, just super tired. Yep. Like I felt like I'd been in a fight every day when I woke up.
How many fights have you been in, by the way?
We'll have to talk about that another episode. But yeah, it felt like that, you know? Those fights I was in. But by, you know, day three, I was starting to feel good again.
Mm.
But I still didn't have anything to do. I had my laptop, but I had so much stuff to do on a campus that I didn't have a lot to do at home.
Yeah.
And so I decided to start getting back into Xbox.
Nice.
I haven't played the Xbox for a long time. What? Months. Months and months.
Yeah, okay.
All right?
Fair enough.
Don't you second guess me, champ. But normally during a school term or even during the school holidays, I find it really hard to rationalise playing Xbox.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, wow, I could do uni work, I could do school work, I could be making things better, I could be working on productive things, you know, or I could be reading a book. So I find it really hard to justify playing a few games on the Xbox. But all of a sudden, I was at home with nothing else to do. I couldn't leave my bedroom. That's all I really had there. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to, like, I could go out and do things, could go buy a new book.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what, I'm just going to load it up, re-download some games and play a few games. And it was really, really good.
Mm.
It was really fun. And I had a good mate in particular who played with me a few times.
Sorry.
So,
you know, oh, we are
maturing. As I said that, I saw your stupid face. Had a mate.
Got him.
But
sorry.
The key point of this is I've been
this
out
is
for
a family friendly show.
Been out for a week now. And the other night I had done a bit of uni work. It was 8 o'clock, and my mate messaged me. And was like, "Want to play some Xbox?"
Yeah.
And I was like, can't remember the last time I would have played a game on a school night. Which is how nice. That's how I refer to my life these days.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what? I actually don't have a reason to say no. All I would do if I didn't say yes is I'd scroll on my phone for half an hour.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I played a game, an hour of my day, and it was really, really fun. Like, it was just a good way to break up the day and a good way to check out, and it was really engaging, and it was nice. I felt like hanging out with a mate as well, you know, had the microphone on.
Yeah.
And so it made me realise that I've probably been putting way too much guilt on myself for enjoying what is really a frivolous and meaningless hobby. A lot of my other hobbies, for some reason, I justify in my mind as good. Like reading, you know, builds your vocabulary in theory. Playing guitar seems to be good for you. But playing video games, I've always been told, is just a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm starting to realise that sometimes that's okay.
Yeah.
And I want to know what your thoughts are on the idea of frivolous and not useless, but you know what I mean, frivolous hobbies.
We talked a bit about it last episode, I think, about escapism, and I was talking about, playing the PlayStation, and you were talking about books and things like that. So, but yeah, I it's always important to have your different hobbies and whatever as well. So, I like it. I don't know what else you want to say. I think, there's a lot of, and again, we probably talked about it last episode, but there's obviously downsides to and a lot of negative press around video games and stuff like that, but there's definitely some upsides to it as well. And it can be like really enjoyable for that period of time, as long as you put your limit on it and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, like, what other hobbies do you have? Sounds like a weird first date. What other hobbies do you have?
Well, I have a lot of hobbies. That's the only one in my mind that I ever feel guilty about, though. If I spend an hour playing guitar, I feel productive.
If
I spend an hour whittling, dare I say, is it my want on an evening sometimes?
Okay.
Feel productive. Got a spoon at the end of it. If I spend an hour, I love hiking. Spend hours and hours hiking. Yeah. That's all I do. But feels like I'm doing something.
Yeah.
And I am, well, you know. But then all of a sudden, turn on the Xbox, and that's when I start to feel this guilt. Unless I'm in a unique situation like I was last week.
Yeah.
Strange.
Do you reckon it's around like, so hiking, you could probably justify it as like, oh, it's a bit of exercise, a bit of fitness. Yeah. Whittling and playing the guitar, you're building up a skill.
Yeah.
Is that your justification?
I think so. I think that's what I think when I do it. But then for some reason, but then again, reading is an example of something that feels more productive than gaming. And I guess it is, like, as a teacher, I know that it is good for your vocabulary and your, you know, your language ability to read regularly.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm just going to try and be a little less harsh on myself, I think, is the policy. And if I feel like playing a game of Xbox every now and then, I think I'm going to try and take some of the guilt out of that equation and be better at that personally.
Great.
And I'd love to hear, we get a little bit of feedback from people every couple of episodes. If you have a hobby or if you've experienced this guilt before, I'd love to hear about it personally.
Yeah.
And know what you think about this and whether there's a hobby in your life that you feel guilty about for some reason. Yeah.
Great.
You're ready, champion.
We're recording.
That's good. Leave it out.
Yeah, that's good. No, I'll leave it in. after our conversation about...
Did you say, I only demand the highest professionalism.
I said, unlike you, I don't accept mediocrity. I operate with a level of professionalism. And you were like, oh, I accept raw and vulnerable communication. Anyway, so Monty, as we return... it's been a while since I put up our story on our Instagram.
Ah, yes.
In fact, it was on the 31st of March.
Wow, which is some almost months ago.
2 months ago. After the Oscars.
Mm.
This year's
Oscars. This year's Oscars.
Well, yeah. It wouldn't have been last year's because that wouldn't make sense. It certainly would have been the year before that.
Certainly not. Probably not the 2018 Oscars either.
That's enough of you. All
right. Where are you going with this, Brody? You've got a story.
So it was after the Chris Rock and Will Smith debacle.
Ah,
for
yes,
those of you that aren't aware, Chris Rock made a joke about Will Smith's wife. Will Smith got up after laughing at the joke and slapped Chris Rock across the face. Anyway, huge story. Developing story. Debacle. But I put up this story on the 31st of March.
Hey Instagram, we are going to be launching into the discussion about the Oscars this week and obviously the Will Smith, Chris Rock controversy. We want to know, when was the last time that you let your emotions get the better of you when you lost control, whether it was something that you're angry about or upset about? When was the last time you lost control? When was the last time you let your emotions take over in a situation that you probably could have dealt with better? We'll keep these anonymous, but we'd love to hear from you guys what was that incident and what happened.
So we had all intention to record at some point.
Probably sooner to the actual date than this, yes.
But I felt like we're not going to just let that slide. We got some responses to that.
Yeah,
And I just want to address them. As I said,
and thank you for those of you that that did respond. This is one of the reasons we want to talk about it now.
Yeah.
We do really appreciate your responses.
Yes.
So let's talk. I would love to. I've actually not had a look at them because I wanted to hear them now.
And because you just don't pay attention to our social media.
Well, hold on.
So when was the last time you let your emotions dictate your actions? So a couple of responses. I'm only going to pick two because we're running out of time. But that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
So one of them was around, it wasn't about anger, but it was just feeling a general anxiety about going to classes and then deciding not to go out of fear. So that was an example of being ruled by emotions or allowing your emotions to dictate what you do.
Which is interesting because I think our main topic was talking about sort of not being able to control anger. So it's really interesting to hear another side of that coin in regards to fear and
yeah,
that uni
well, it wasn't,
context.
Yeah, I mean, the question that I put in the question box wasn't explicitly talking
no,
about
anger.
No, no, but
anger, just but great to yeah, hear another side of that story as well. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So thank you. And in the interest of time,
and who was that?
We said we'll keep it anonymous. Gotcha. I'm not even going to tell you who it was off the air. And another one was, and a common theme actually as well, was around when you're tired, and how it's harder to regulate your emotions or think clearly when you're fatigued and under pressure. Mm. And so sometimes that tiredness and the emotions that come up during that can really get the better of you and dictate your actions there.
Great.
You got nothing to say there?
I mean...
you got any experience with
that? Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think that when I get tired, I really struggle with regulating my emotions when I'm tired, which is a lot of the time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I'm tired, it goes different ways as well. It's not like I have one specific emotion.
Yeah.
When I'm tired, I just get very emotional.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little bit frustrated easily or impatient, or maybe it's sad, maybe it's happy. Sometimes when I'm tired, I get a bit loopy and
I reckon I've seen, laughing, you know? I reckon I've seen probably all sides of
it. I think you probably have, yeah. I'm totally with you. The person that wrote that.
Yeah.
And understand.
Several people,
yeah.
So, I don't think we'll touch on the Will Smith incident much, given that it was ages ago. It's old news. But yeah, thank you for the interactions on that. It was really cool to
keep it up, yeah.
To see those and hopefully this can act as a reminder or as a bit of inspiration for when you are feeling tired or when you are, you know, in the height of your own emotions. That you take a moment to just reflect on who you really want to be during those times.
Thanks, Brady.
Cool.
So, a slightly more mellow ending than we normally have, but thanks for listening to the Change Good Always pace. Podcast, episode 19. Yeah.
Is it?
How about that? Almost at the magic number 20.
Almost at the end of season one.
Almost. That's we did say we'd 20 eps per season, for 20 seasons.
Even as I said at the start of this one, welcome to season two.
That was just a joke, Brody.
It was a joke. No,
thank you for listening, though. Thank you for engaging. And even though we leave some time between episodes for you to have a think about it, you still come back, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Tune in next episode for something.
Whenever that episode will be, too.
Thanks, Brody.
And follow us on the old socials if you haven't already.
Of course.
Yeah. Really, thank you.